Hallelujah. Use your hand and worship God again with your hands. That hand that will wear your wedding ring, use it and worship God. God bless you. Be seated. This year you must marry. I said this year you must marry. Last year we did the same thing in the beginning of the year like this, even earlier than we're doing it now. And last year we had the greatest number of people wedding in a year. It was last year. Yes. At the marriage committee, even they are fully booked till which month? This year, I understand. Till which month? Till which month? Already they book for wedding.
June.
Up to June,
yes.
Fully booked. Fully booked. Marriage, 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 everywhere in their diary. It's a result of last year. We are approaching it again this year. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we go straight into action, and before then, I just have only two things to tell you to keep in mind as you are in expectation of consummating your marriage arrangements, those of you who are already engaged, those who are yet to be engaged, have this at the back of your mind. First and foremost, this year is our year in this ministry. It's our year of open door. Hallelujah. And throughout this month, we keep emphasizing it, keep emphasizing it. For those who have not heard, let them hear it. That this month is our open, a year of open door. And that promise to us is what is in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. It says, I know thy works. He said, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. He said, no man can shut it. Praise the Lord. We are Christians. Church, we are Christians. Am I talking to Christians? Can I see your hand up if you're a Christian? Now, listen. I'm talking about believers, Christians. Listen. Once you are truly a Christian, you are part of a family. The head of that family is Christ himself. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15 tells us that Christ Jesus is our family name. That's why we are called Christians, because we are members of the family of Christ. He is our head, our family head. Listen very well. I say this, see, the man talking to you, I am a practical Christian. I am a preacher. A preacher is a witness. I am witnessing to you. And I can only, a witness tells you what he has seen. A true witness tells you what he has seen, what he has experienced. What I'm telling you, concerning marriage is my emphasis. I am telling you as a true witness of the reality of God who works by principles. I am not a religious man. I am not. I walk with God by revelation, and God has caused me in this period of my life to walk with him, to understand him. And that's why he has made me a preacher. And if you follow what I teach you, you will prosper. That is the truth. Because what I teach you is not theory, it's not academics. It is practical. You practice it, you will see the results. Whichever way. So when we admonish you like this, and I like to admonish people like you because I have passed through that stage. I have passed through this stage. And you know what? I passed through the stage of marriage. I married as an unbeliever. And now I am a Christian. So the balance I understand from both sides. And not just that, I have a successful marriage. And the successful marriage, hallelujah, the successful marriage is because of certain things I put into consideration before I went into marriage. And later on, 2 years after my marriage, I became a Christian. And I have tried from that time on, my admonishment is not for you, it's for the married people. Praise the Lord. But I can tell you that as a young man, that every young man knows what he is looking for when it comes to marriage. And every young woman knows what she's looking for when it comes to marriage. But the unfortunate thing I have observed is that there are some people that are so stupid, so foolish, that they are so consumed with the desire to go and get married that they don't care who they marry and how they marry. And marriage is something that you must not make mistake because it's a decision for the rest of your life. And sometimes I'm telling you, it is better to be without a husband, without a wife, than to enter into some kind of marriage we see evil within the church. So when we are advising you, we organize this program, we also know, you know, that we are talking to different categories of people that are here now, or maybe watching me from wherever you are watching me. Listen, the man speaking to you, I am married. I am not a reverend father. Even reverend father, some of them get girlfriend. So they still maintain relationship with women. And I used to tell somebody, I said, you see my wedding ring? I have been wearing this wedding ring since the day I got married in 1986. And it has not left this finger for anything. I bath with it. I do everything with it. It has not left my finger. I've been wearing it for the past 32 years. 32 years. 32 years. I married my wife. She was 23 years when I married her. And I was 28. And we've been together through all the wahala of life till now. I said the rest belong to the married people because I married and for 20 years, no child. And we had a happy marriage. So when they come to me and they are desperate, I say, how long is your own? Well, you never born. He said, Daddy, it's 4 years. I will look up. That's why you want to kill yourself. My own was 20 years. From 1986 to 2006. So when I speak to you, I speak authoritatively concerning marriage. Marriage is not anything written in any book. Marriage is ordained by God Himself. And God Himself must be allowed to guide you, to lead you. Two things I want to say as far as today's own is concerned. Number one, He, God, says He has set an open door, and this open door includes open door of marriage this year. Whether you receive it or not, because you came here, you must marry. And it must be this year. And He said, no man can shut it. It's underlined in my Bible. You know, God deals with us by the nature He has given us. My nature is prove everything you say before I will believe. Prove anything you say before I believe. That is my nature. Therefore, don't tell me to believe that Jesus is alive until I see Him. I will not believe. You wait and see Him. Me too, I won't see Him. If somebody, you say somebody is alive, you see Him, and you want me to also believe that He's alive. And what thing make you believe, say they are alive? No, because you see Him. Me too, I must see Him. If I don't see Him, I don't go believe. Now, you will say it's faithlessness. It's not faithlessness. Before anybody has faith, there's something that makes the person to have faith. You can't have faith based on some abstract. There must be something. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus, knowing that, He made me to meet with Him to confirm that He's alive. And once I confirm it, I can tell anybody Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. When I was studying the Bible, when I gave my life to Christ, in 1989 or so, I said, I read Mark 16, this sign shall follow them that believe. I said, oh, I jumped up. So there is evidence to confirm that I am a believer. And then I began to read it. In my name they will cast out devils. In my name they will speak in new tongues. They will lay hand on the sick and the sick shall recover. And where I was, see sick people everywhere. I say, I don't need to go far now. If I'm a believer, let me confirm now this Bible, whether it is true or not. And everyone I laid my hand on that was sick received healing. Everyone. God was using it to confirm to me that the Bible is true. So when I say I am standing, I'm preaching, you are sick, and I tell you God will heal you, I'm not speaking abstract. I am speaking what I know He does. And even if you receive healing, will not change my mind from knowing that He heals. Because me, myself, I have been sick and I called upon Him without going to hospital and He healed me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So when I say he heals HIV, it's because I have seen Him heal HIV. Not with somebody's testimony, my own personal testimony where I pray for somebody and God heal them. Praise the Lord. I believe in miracles. And I have seen it happen. I have seen the dead come back to life. So this God we are talking about is real. Number one, He said no man can shut that door that He has opened. But you know what? There is a scripture in Revelation chapter 2 verse 14. Don't know if... Okay, let me just read it from the Bible. Chapter 2 and verse 14. There's something I want to pick up from there. He said, to the Pergamos church age, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. And that is in Numbers chapter 31. We know the story there. The doctrine of Balaam, he said he hates it. Children of God, Christians, don't compare yourself with unbelievers. Romans chapter 8 verse 28, we are called according to His purpose. Don't compare yourself with another Christian sister, another Christian brother, concerning how your life goes. God works with us according to His purpose. And the purpose of God upon you may be different from the purpose of God upon another sister, upon another brother. I want you to take note of that, so that you don't allow frustration unnecessarily to disturb you. So that you don't begin to feel frustrated. Everybody has married In my family, I'm the only one left. They are mocking me. They are mocking me. When I stayed for years, no child, I'm from a polygamous family. Some other women will come to my mother. She used to tell me by herself. When they come, say, come, this is your son, waiting for Lagos. How far up till now, no picking. Waiting they happen. And then she said she will answer them. Now me, they ask, have you give picking? You ask God, now why you never give him picking? Not because they give picking. He said when he answered them like that, they will keep quiet. And they will go. But that's the truth. Oh, your own turn has come. You have got to yours. Just like Hannah and her mate. Her mate had 8 children or so. She didn't have even one. But by the time God answered her at the appointed time, somebody shout appointed time.
Appointed time.
Shout appointed time.
Appointed
time. There is God's own appointed time for everybody. By the time God answered Anna and gave her one Samuel became better than the 8 children that other woman was producing like pig before. Pig. Amen. You be patient. When your own will come, amen. Praise the Lord. Those who marry before you, they will begin to envy you. Oh, glory be to God. You will know that this is the appointed time. Your husband never come because God is preparing him somewhere for you. You don't believe it. It's very difficult for a woman. I don't get nearly 40 years now. Amen. The doctrine of Balaam, listen. Whom God bless, no man can curse, correct? Who God has blessed. In blessing Abraham, I will bless you and your seed after you. And he swore by himself because he cannot swear by any greater because there is no greater than him. So he had to swear by himself. In blessing Abraham, I will bless you and your seed after you. And the seed after him was Israel. The nation of Israel. And here they are going changing to their promised land. The land that God himself promised them. Hallelujah. And he was leading them by a prophet. They were going there and just passing and going. The Moabites, the Midianites, and all the rest, they will be getting jealous. They want to fight them. Why are you fighting them? They are only passing by. Why is the enemy interested in you until they are angry? They don't even want you to progress. Why? You are going to fulfill your destiny. They are angry. It has nothing to do with them. They are angry. The Bible says that Balak, the king of one of the nations, went to the most powerful Debia in the land. By the name of who? Balaam. We know the story. Numbers 31, 32, like that. He said, there are people coming. As I try to look at this man, Balaam, for a king to go and meet Balaam, to go and curse. Balaam was not a Jew. Balaam was not an Israelite. But Balaam had the ability to contact any spirit you want him to contact, including contacting the Holy Spirit, the God of the Jews. He has the ability to contact any. If now mami water you want make it go, he will go contact her for you. If you want Amadioha, he will go and contact Amadioha for you. If you want him to contact anything at all, and he went with his oracle and went in the night to by invocation incantation, he was able to contact the God of Israel to receive permission to come and curse these people. And the Bible says, God told him, you cannot curse these ones because I have blessed them. Whom God has blessed, no one can curse. Is somebody understanding me? Whom God has blessed, no man, nothing can curse it. But Balaam knew how to destroy Israel. He said, the only thing you can do, Balaam, to get these people in trouble, to destroy these people, is to make them to do something that will make God to be angry with them. And that is my emphasis. That this year, God has set an open door. No man can close it. Only you yourself can close it. Only you yourself, only you yourself can close this door. And may you not close it in the name of Jesus. How did he do it? He told them, go and organize a feast. And invite them, like as if you are making friends. They have been walking in the wilderness. They are under very strict law. They have not seen naked women. So dress them skimpily. And you know what they wanted to achieve. And they say, you know, we are related. We are one. We know you are passing by. So we decided to organize a banquet for you. Let your people come. It's free food. Come and taste our delicacies. We are known for preparing very wonderful delicacies. Then come and just watch our traditional dance before you continue to your destination. And that is the doctrine of Balaam. That is the teaching that he taught Balak. And Balak, what was Satan or Balaam wanting to achieve, he achieved it. Immediately the children of Israel came and saw those half-naked women dancing and shaking all the shakables. And then mingling and mincing, and remember they were the target, they have been well schooled on what to do. And the children of Israel said, wow! And they began to mess up with those women. That day, the Bible records that God got angry with Israel and destroyed 24,000 of them. He killed 24,000 one night. What Balaam could not achieve because God has blessed them. He pushed them to go and do something that will invoke the wrath of God upon them. When that same doctrine is still going on now in the Church of Jesus Christ. But I want to limit it to our program here today. That many of us, the reason why you have one problem or the other in your marriage is not any demon husband. It's not any curse. It's not any covenant. No covenant can work before a blessing, to destroy a blessing that God has given a child of God. None. There is none. As long as you remain faithful at favor with God, you remain in His perfect will, walking in His commandment, you stand with Him, He will stand with you. You must come to an estate where you search yourself and know that this disappointment I'm having, this thing I'm having, is not from me. I have tried by all means to live a life pleasing before God. You must come to that estate. As long as you are in that estate, devil can never mess up with any blessing you have. Can never mess up with any blessing you have. And because of that, He knows when God blesses you, no man can curse you. When God opens a door, no man can close it because of it. The only way is this doctrine of Balaam. He will cause situations around you that push you to compromise where you should not compromise. It will push you to use a character challenge that you have. It will cause you to do some action either with a man or one way or the other, mess up yourself. There are characters that we have, sister, that drive man away from you. And you are not sincere enough to stop looking at the demon husband that comes to you in the night, or the uncle that has tied all the children of your father in the village. You keep looking at them when you should be sincere enough to look inward to yourself. I hope I'm not doing anything. What is the complaint that all these people disappointing me? Why is this man changing his mind? Why? What was the last problem I had with the former one? And then the other one. Do I have any problem? And this problem, looking what, is more than standing before the mirror and saying, am I not beautiful? There is no ugly girl now. Every girl is beautiful in this age now. Every girl is beautiful. There is no ugly girl. So it is not your beauty. The beauty of a woman goes beyond the physical appearance. It includes character. That's the truth. It includes character. A man comes to you. Why I'm facing the sisters first and majorly is because you are the one that walk within time. You believe you have a time limit. So you should make certain achievement within certain time limit. But the man can marry even at 70 years old. Correct? I didn't say you will marry at 70. I'm only saying men marry even at 70 years old. Correct? Which age did Kumuyi marry after his wife died? You don't marry again? You marry now. Ojuku, which age he marry beauty queen? It's not the men. I want to help the sisters. I want to help you. Praise the Lord. Telling you that you meet a man and every time you are nagging. You never marry him, or courtship is still going on. You possess him until you want to take him and swallow him so that no other girl says, good morning, how are you? Who are you talking to? What's the business with that girl? What? Everything, you go from there, you pierce through to his family, and you've been ready trying to separate him from his family directly or indirectly, and things like that, and the guy is looking at you. I hope you know, during courtship, you are not only courting that man, you are courting everything related to him. And then you display one character that they are afraid. Now this coward you will carry come home, no matter how many sorry, you say sorry, you have scared the person. Because a decision to live for life and to start with, there are many fishes in the ocean. So why should he take a risk when he can check somebody else? You see? And sometimes out of desperation, we just go and open our legs to a man, you know, to sleep with you. Desperation. Because he said he will sleep with you, he put pressure, and then he's now at the verge of breaking the relationship because you refuse to have sex with him. And then you are there thinking, make I not lose this one again. Make I not lose this one again. God, you will understand. And once you do that, if you are a true child of God, you are bringing problem to yourself in that relationship. Don't let desperation push you that far. Only you can block this door that God has opened. The second thing I want to say is this. Is there anybody here you have been praying for the perfect will of God concerning your marriage? Can I see your hand up? Wave it so that I'll be sure. Okay. Almost everybody. The rest of you, you are not praying anyone. Anyone, Abi? Anyone, wake up, I go marry. No, don't need that. What are they praying for? Anyone, Abi? Okay. Anyone will come to you. But I'm facing those who believe that in all your ways, according to the Bible, acknowledge God and He will direct your path. Every Christian, every true Christian, Proverbs chapter 3 tells us that, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways, acknowledge God, and He shall direct thy footsteps. Listen. Listen. We pray, but so many of us pray faithless prayer. And let me prove it to you. So many of you pray faithless prayer. When I was admonishing two sisters that were in my house during the week, I was telling somebody, I said, telling them, and I've said it here several times, and I'm telling you that is the truth. I don't have anything called disappointment in my life. Oh, until I'll keep talking about it, keep it, if it break me down. Of course, I am a human being. You feel bad, but I get over it quickly. But there's something that makes me get over it. What is it that makes me get over it? Listen, if I pray a prayer and I was believing that you are the one that will help me, I have a need, and I come to you, all the prayer I was praying, I actually had you in mind. You are a friend of mine. You are close to me. You are this. You are, you know, but you have the ability to help me. Maybe a friend of mine whom I know to be a multimillionaire, and I have a need and I come. And you disappoint me, you refuse to help me. Naturally, I will feel bad, especially if it's somebody that has benefited from your benevolence in time past. And he's reciprocating it with disappointment like that. As a human being, you feel bad, but immediately I get over it. You know why? Because I prayed over that need. So what comes to my mind is, it means you are not the one God is going to use to answer my prayer. Finish. Let me tell you something. Every true child of God, concerning you, God will not share His glory concerning you with anyone. Any man, any woman, that concerning your achievements, your progress in life, will come one day and say, if not for me, will you be where you are today? It is because of me. If that person has that tendency, before that achievement comes, God will make sure He separates the two of you. But how many of us are sensitive to note it? Because God will not tell you what is ahead. You are only feeling all the frustration that is going on. And God watches you. But the Bible says we are engraved in the palm of His hands. The Bible tells us the footstep of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. The Bible tells us He is the one that makes a way where there is no way. And more importantly, He said, if you ask me to do anything, I will do it. He said, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask Him to do anything according to His will, He heareth us. Is marriage not the will of God? It's the perfect will of God to be married. Therefore, every prayer you pray concerning your marriage, He answers. And the answer, this is where I am going, sometimes includes the breakage of a relationship you have. The person that you may be looking to marry, all of a sudden, he comes and says, I'm not interested again. Then you are there killing yourself. Emeka, why? Emeka, why? You even begin to curse him. Emeka, You do this to me, I will not live to see you marry another girl. And then you carry his name, go to mountain. And then you're doing dry fasting. Can I tell you something? A blessing packaged by God to you will not come by any effort of yours. It will not come because you fasted. It will not come because of any dry fasting. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, 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 no. The blessing of God, he maketh it rich. He will not add sorrow to it. Any man that comes, it must be because he loves you. That's why he came. If he doesn't love you and he came, it means there's something else he's looking for. If he doesn't get it, he will go. Let him go. So we keep praying, and we must pray and be in expectation that anything can happen, including this relationship that you are in now. And when you live that type of life with God, you walk in that type of faith, then God orders your footsteps accordingly. I have too many testimonies, you know, to confirm this. And this came about by a sister they were showing me in the Facebook that wedded. And then I was looking, and then one of the sisters said, I know this sister. There was a serious disappointment that this girl had. Said she cried. She cried. The brother disappointed her. She cried. He said, but see, today she's wedded. And I was using it to explain to them. This one that this sister married, and that one that disappointed her now, can you compare the two of them? The sisters that were talking say, this one is 1,000 times better than the other one. Praise God. This one that is, she married now, lives in Europe. And already, even before the marriage wedding takes place, the man has already started processing her documents to join him in Europe. So which one better pass now? That one that disappointed me is still a hustler for Lagos here. That's where I am going to. There is a brother too that wanted to marry a sister here because he was hustling around too. But that brother was a Christian. Everybody knew him to be a Christian. And he come finish, the sister tell her and say, you look me finish. Now me, they come meet. They curse me. You know, some of these guys have bad mouth. You are not interested. That's all now. You know, as a human being now, you go now, there is somebody else for you, not me. Simple. What happened? No, God has not shown me you are my... I mean, find wisdom to be sweet to the person. Why will you use bad language like that? And before you know what, from nowhere, a charmed, a lady that they used to be friends when they were in secondary school. Also, from the same village with him, that they lost contact, and she's been in Europe also. And they came and they met. And the sister is saying, why I'm not married? God kept showing you to me. God kept showing you to me. When the brother came, said, now it's confirmed. A Christian woman in Europe. We wedded them in this church. I was sitting down in my office. When somebody came to see me, says from the Spanish embassy. I said, what about it? He said, they have come to confirm if I am the one that issued that wedding certificate and if I know this. I said, oh, I know the person. I know it's okay. He said, they are processing his documents to go and join his wife in Europe. Hallelujah. And today, he's in Europe with his wife, enjoying themselves there. This sister, you look me finish, still they here. They hustle here. They never get husband. Up till now, for this place. And that brother was a man of prayer. When that sister disappointed him, when we had him, we call him. He said, no, that means she's not for me. That's all. That means she's not my own. That's all. God told me my wife is coming. I thought she's the one. She's not the one. That's all. Praise the Lord. People who walk with faith, no disappointment. Have you ever prayed a prayer? Lord, even this relationship I am into now with Johnson, if it is not your will, Father, scatter it. You know, it's a very serious prayer point. And only sincere people can pray that type of prayer. I know of a brother that said, even the last day, before I go to the altar, do something, Lord, and scatter it. If this is not your will for me, I don't want to make a mistake. He told me he meant it. A sister told me the same thing. He said, if it is not the will, he said, that was her prayer. He said, even that day, he said, even after they have done traditional, before she goes to the altar to exchange vow, Lord, scatter it if it is not your will. She said she meant it. And when you pray that type of prayer, then expect anything to happen. Anything that happens, you will say, praise God, I pray. People will say, you're the grace. You know, she said, you will say, no. It's the Lord that scattered it. Because you have prayed. So, watch it. So that you go out of God's perfect will and enter God's permissive will. Because of desperation. So that you don't begin to use your mouth and curse God. When God is blessing you by certain actions around you that you may not understand. But one thing I believe is, for every true child of God, there is somebody that God has ordained to be your wife, to be your husband somewhere. Your only prayer is that God should help you to locate that person in time. And secondly, that you also package yourself so that your husband, your wife can locate you. Amen. Sometimes when you get so desperate and you put pressure on the man, he gets scared. Which one be this now? You see the girl, say, my parents now say they want to see you. Because you don't want to lose him, so you want to yoke him with going to do introduction. My parents say they want to see you. My mother said they want to see you. The man is saying, wait, when I'm ready, I will come now. So it means you want to deceive me now. If not, why you not come? You put pressure. The guy will begin to suspect there's something you are hiding that you don't want time to expose. You want to rush me into something. Why are you rushing him? Let him go according to his own time. You package yourself, continue your prayer. The only thing is that if another man, they drag you for one side, then you go tell and say, Emeka, decline your stand, oh, because market day. Oh. Emeka, market day. Oh. If you not come, another person go pick this market to go. I don't put there. I don't remove for sale. When you gave me the engagement ring, I'm no more for sale. But please, so I don't wear this engagement ring now for 2 years, so I will come out and first. I give you up to so time. If you no do anything, no, at the come out and market day, oh, see market day, oh, for office market day, for church market day, anywhere I enter bus market, full everywhere market, for Facebook market, everywhere market. Amen. But why will you book a sister for so long? If you love her, then go ahead. Continue. Praise the Lord. May somebody take you to this little admonishment and package yourself for the promise of God concerning your marriage to come to pass this year in Jesus' name.